beaming into your mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smashing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You're listening to Planet Vrilok, your podcast for everything super psionics and magic tech. Yes, there's simply too much magic at vrilok.com/shop. I had to throw that commercial in at the beginning. Paying attention now? Well, tonight's podcast is about being the prisoner of your own identity. Yes. It's all about that ego. Well, we're going to talk about that and what you can do and how you can play with this wonderful ego of yours and maybe even delve into who we really are. So without further ado, let us begin. Well, I was thinking about all of this the other day. It's not very often that I'm able to sit down and just relax and do what I want to do. Usually, if I'm sitting down to relax, it is to do some meditation, either for practice, or I'm working on a global project, or I'm doing psionic magic to help a friend in need, which, wow, we have a lot of friends in need since the beginning of last year, and it's been a tough haul. Well, I did have some time. I made some time the other day to just lie down in trance, put some headphones or some earbuds in, and listen to the good old classical video game soundtrack from the classical video game Doom. And so I was listening with my iPad, and each time that I had like an email come in or an alert, there's this ting sound that comes through the earbuds. I have my eyes closed, I'm very relaxed. And what happens when I hear that ting sound is there's this flash on my inner screen, on the back of the eyelids, in my mind's eye, of that screen in my email. So, you know, those of you who have contacted me publicly before know that I have a public email address through Gmail, so I would see the Gmail layout flash in my mind's eye. And I was thinking, you know, I'm only connected to this iPad through a pair of earbuds, and it's going through my ears. How am I picking up on this imagery without a psionic helmet on? Well, it all goes back to the very beginning of my life of discovering something called telemechanics that's in my book, The Wondrous Wheel VPG3. And so essentially, we are always in contact with our machines, radionics, radionic boxes included, prayer boards, whatever it is that you've touched or that you're familiar with, or whatever just happens to be vibrating on a frequency similar enough to your own, is making contact with your mind at some varying degree or level. So we're all wirelessly connected to all of these gadgets and things that surround us, including our Wi-Fi signals that are coming off our routers. I mean, if you've ever just had a hunch hit you that, hey, wait a minute, somebody important has just emailed me, and you're like, wait, where's my phone? Where, you know, I have no way of checking. And you run back inside the house, and there it is. The email's right there on your desktop or laptop or your smartphone. And you're like, hey, how did I know that? Well, it's like the same thing. How did I know when I was interviewing Adam Kokesh last night that just outside of his window, there's a wheelbarrow just sitting out there that had had some work done with it? Well, it's because we're all connected through this dreamscape that is the underlying reality, sort of like how a skyscraper is built. It basically, the building sort of hangs on the steel bone of the building. So that steel structure, that's that dream world I'm talking about. And then the enamelment, you know, the rest of the building that you see from the outside, that's that the physical world. Another way to look at it is a tapestry, where we don't see the intricate weaving that goes into creating this work of art that's on the backside. We only see that clear picture. Or in some ways, when we're having a bad day, we see just that backside that looks like a bunch of chaos to us, you know, all these patterns and threads. And if we meditate, it's sort of like turning that tapestry around and then seeing the artwork and going, oh, now I get it. Well, all of this ties into my philosophy and understanding also what is the ego self. And some people think that the ego self is something like, it makes us feel a certain way, and we're, you know, maybe it's a bad thing or this or that. But no, you know, not really. If you're semi-detached from that ego, if you don't take it too seriously, and you know that it's basically just one version of the story that you're telling yourself. I think Adam Kokesh on last night's podcast, he mentioned, you know, we're basically telling ourselves a story throughout our lives. Well, yeah, that's kind of true. That's a good way to look at it. But I like to talk about comic book supervillains. There's just something about the comic book supervillains, comic book outlaws, the Punisher, the vigilante, the clever supervillain like Lex Luthor, versus the heroes like the almighty, powerful, godlike Superman, and so on. Well, when I'm looking at Herr Doktor von Verloc is a character. Now, I might be washing the dishes or brushing my teeth and then thinking about this character and going, is that really me? Or am I the guy that's looking in the mirror without the mask on? You know, which one is the mask? And sometimes I'll forget. I'll think that the real me is the guy looking in the mirror at this fleshy face. In these dull cow eyes. No, but that's not the real me either. It's not who I am. It's more of a what I am. And so I know that I'm consciousness. I'm an awareness. A spark. The point of the matter is we all go through our lives thinking that we are the things that we imagine, or that we are the people that other people tell us we are. Everybody's always telling you who you are. And if they're not telling you, your television is telling you. And if you're sitting in a room by yourself, your subconscious mind is speaking to you. Usually, the subconscious mind is speaking to you to thwart your plans. You know, you'll be thinking, I am going to get the job on Monday. And then your subconscious mind says, oh, well, that gives me plenty of time to wreck that dream for you. And it's like, you know, things don't work out. And then you go, drats, foiled again. Well, that's because you gave your subconscious mind too much time. It's a computer system, you know, the front brain and the back brain, that relationship. So that's not really us. We are consciousness. Our goal in life should be to learn how to control the hemispheres of our brain, but more importantly, the front and back, the big brain and the small brain, and the various chakras throughout our bodies, which is something that I teach in my club and in my books. And gadgetry can help us do that. Simple gadgetry, really. an analog radio, a flashlight, these sort of things, if you know how to augment them or pair these simple everyday instruments with some patterns and a little focus concentration, these instruments can be way more effective and much, much more powerful than some of the most expensive radionic machines that I've seen on the internet. And I've tried a number of various machines. Some of them are nice. They work well for this or that. But usually, mastering something about ourselves will make the big difference. The things that we love, if you love what you work with, what you do, if you love your art, it's going to work better for you. You know, I like the old classical supervillain and superheroes. If we go back to the year, I think it was 1940, Green Lantern came out in a comic book. And essentially, what was Green Lantern? Well, he was a man who had certain qualities. Hal Jordan, I believe was his name, the name of the first Green, or not the first Green Lantern, but the Green Lantern in the comic book, most often portrayed as the antagonist throughout the series. And essentially, and then later, they had another Green Lantern that came in, and he was sort of the Green Lantern for a while, and that was I forgot his name, but he was a black Green Lantern. And then they had some alien Green Lantern, so it was sort of like this intergalactic community, and you know, very very diverse for a comic book of its time. I mean, 1940, we're talking 1940, and DC Comics came out with this wonderful a comic book story and character. So what is the Green Lantern? Well, he's basically a man with will, and then he has this ring. Is it a magic ring? No, well, no, not in the medieval traditional sense, but any technology that is significantly advanced is indistinguishable from magic. But essentially, it's sort of like a device, it's technology that he wears on his hand that will enamel his body in this aura of green power, the power of will, to will his survival, to defeat and the enemy and protect sentient beings across the galaxy. And that was a Green Lantern. So what he's wearing on his hand, that ring, that is a psionic instrument, or we might call it a radionic or psychotronic instrument. But he's essentially a psionicist. He's using his mind and his will with that instrument to create these constructs that he uses for good, and so he becomes a superhero. In contrast, though, there are some of the classic supervillains like Lex Luthor in DC's Superman series, and these characters, they have to think and outthink a superhero, who's usually somebody with overly developed muscles and, you know, out of this world superpowers. And so learning to identify with where the supervillain has to lead his own life, because nobody else is going to do it for him, is to be very independent. We can take some of that and borrow it for our personal lives and think in terms of, well, how am I going to take care of myself when society's collapsing all around me? And I know Uncle Sam ain't going to do it for me. Yeah, in some places, they might rush you into a smart city or a FEMA camp or incarcerate us. But, you know, none of those things are really desirable. So, you might try something different. Alternative living, whatever it is. But you think for yourself. You will your survival, like the Green Lantern. Or you outsmart the authorities, like Lex Luthor. You beat the system, or you learn how to make it work for you. Any changing in a system, you must find its advantage. I think one of the first things to do is to learn what makes us not think in terms of finding those advantages and working for ourselves, and then by extension, maybe working for those who are closest to you to help them out. And that is the false belief that you are the person looking back at you in the mirror. I mean, you are shaping yourself, so what you do does have an effect on your body and your appearance. That's true. But ultimately, you are that consciousness. And so therefore, if I am that consciousness also, then I'm also not only the man that looks in the mirror when I want to identify with myself that way, I'm also the man wearing the mask. I actually become the mask, and the mask represents something for me of a past encounter with the world of shadows visiting upon me when I was a child. I choose not to be afraid of it. There are so many fear mongers. They will drag you down, grabbing by your ankles, pulling by your legs. Oh, to be afraid. Be very afraid and get nowhere. But I know that my listeners want to get somewhere. And not only can you work with your own various alter egos here, knowing full well that you are a pinpoint of consciousness, but you can also work with various templates to splice various archetypes, archons, spirits, saints, god forms, collective beliefs in various geographical areas. You can splice these and remake these into thought forms, egregores, and psionic minions, even psionic robots, to do your bidding in the world. And you can call up upon the powers beyond the grave to help you. Yes, they're there to help you. Brave men and women, patriots of the past, ready to come forward with their spirits and fill and filter into the hearts of the living and make people rise to the occasion when such an event requires such service and heroics, and so on. Right now, I have a very special deal. Two paperbacks, a combo of psionic splicing and psionic necromancer. These two books combined will give you the key to those abilities for which I have just spoken of. Use my knowledge. Live your life to the fullest. Live for you. And make the world your oyster. And enjoy your life for a change. Don't you think it's about time you had some power for a change? Seems like everyone else wants to take it away from you. I'm offering to give it back to you. So, that about wraps it up for tonight's episode on Planet Vrilok. And I want to thank you for joining me. Head on over to my shop and check out this new combo deal. Save big. Psionic splicing and psionic necromancer paperbacks. Until next time, as always, the magic high. This is Tom Vrilok, signing out.